Community. Chapter 9, Community Code 2.0, Creating Tribes of Beloved Brand Builders. Let's face it, companies that can harness the power of extremely loyal customers win. They get to spend less on marketing and advertising, their customers keep buying like crazy, and they even love to share your product or service with their friends. Sounds great, right? Falling in love. Imagine what your business would be like if you actually fell in love with your prospect. And if you really are in love with them, wouldn't that mean you must do what's in their best interest? Sometimes that means no sale, but other times it means you have to do everything in your power to get them to buy because you know the positive results they'll get working with you. If you love your prospect, you would be doing them a disservice to not get them to purchase. It's a subtle difference from a consultative sale, but it's a dramatic, almost evangelical quality. And if there's true love with the product or service, that also creates a higher level engagement with your customers, members, clients. On the lowest level, customers are simply getting a need met. Your product or service is their solution, so it's transactional. But with an involved enterprise, there's a community being built with a true identity tied in. And at the highest level, your customers see it as their responsibility to actually convert others. That's the kind of fervent identity you want to foster and create. When Mavericks did a motorcycle ride with Rich Teerling, the former CEO of Harley-Davidson, he freely admitted that having a cult-like following was one of the reasons they could survive their dramatic marketplace downturn. Is there a way to create this? Yes and no. Some of it has to happen naturally and organically, and some of it we can actually engineer. As social creatures, we originated in tribal-type societies, but there's not just one chief anymore. Our loyalties are really based around our multiple interests, passions, and identities. Tribes today are more readily formed around countries, causes, religions, passions, interests, bands, wines, neighborhoods, fraternities and sororities, community, sports teams, clubs, you get the idea. And of course, brands that you love and identify with. Basically, think of these tribes or communities as like cubbyholes in our brains. There are only a certain number of cubbyholes in your mind. And the classic marketing read, Positioning by Jack Trout and Al Rice, really hits on this. A well-worn example is when you think about pizza, many people still would mention Domino's. However, your brand is no longer what you put out there. It's what other people are saying about you. And that's where it gets more interesting. Swiss psychologist Carl Jung did a lot of work on archetypes. The easiest way to think about archetypes are the exaggerated characters you might see on movies and TV shows. Somebody's the jester, the caregiver, the creator, the hero, and so forth. Going back to Harley, they're the outlaw archetype. Even though their market is probably more about white-collared execs who want to be outlaws, Burning Man is about creation and self-expression. The Red Hat Society, a group of thousands and thousands of women over 50, represent the jester of just having fun. Tough Mudder is the hero brand, and so on. You get the idea. Brands represent lifestyle. This actually comes back to another psychologist, Abraham Maslow. And Maslow's most famous theory is his hierarchy of needs, in which people start at the bottom with fundamental security needs and then work their way up to self-actualization. With forethought, we allow and enhance an identity tied into our customers' fullest expression of themselves. I am a blank. You want to change the conversation so your tribe would actually fill in that sentence with their identity attached to it. For instance, I am a Trekkie, I am a burner, or I am a Tedster. Those are all different groups. So I'm a Trekkie is obviously Star Trek fans, and I am a burner are members of the Burning Man community, and I am a Tedster are attendees of the TED conference. One Maverick member, Damian Zamora, actually told me that he wants his gravestone to read, "Here lies a Maverick." To me, that's the ultimate identity. He and his wife, Nikki, actually got married on a Maverick annual summit. It was a surprise engagement turned into a wedding with our musical guest, Pato Bonten, marrying them off. This showcases just how much members actually look at our community as a true family. Now, years ago, you might show your identity with a bumper sticker on your car. And today, if someone is willing to put a sticker or a logo on their phone or iPad, you definitely win. That means you got a strong identity, engaged community. And I'm always so pleased when I see Maverick members whip out their phones with that Maverick skin on them. I'm going to share with you 9 different community decoders so that you can engineer this type of thing. Community decoder number 1, origin story. We all have a creation story, but few of us use them in our marketing or even bother sharing them. Think of it like a comic book character. If I asked you who's bitten by a radioactive spider and started fighting crime to avenge his uncle's death, you might know this as Spider-Man. So this is all part of the creation story, and every business, brand, or personality actually has a creation story that should be made more public. Clif Bar is a $100 million plus business, and the founder, Gary Erickson, talks about going on a 175-mile bike ride, and he just couldn't stomach another power bar. He decided to go home and concoct something better, an all-natural energy bar. And as they say, the rest is history. Even smarter, the team at Clif actually goes on an epiphany ride every year to relive this story. Think about your own creation story. How did you start your business? What was the inspiration? What's the reason you do business the way you do? Share this with customers and you'll create a deeper connection. My friend Andy Nolman, author of POW, Right Between the Eyes, calls these Velcro connections. He started his book by revealing 10 surprising things about himself, and it really bonds the reader. One of the facts was that he was a hockey goalie, and I actually reached out to him because we both play ice hockey. One interesting community to look at is the Red Hat Society of women ages 50 plus. Their origin story started on a girls' trip when the founder, Sue Ellen Cooper, paid $7 for a red fedora hat. She bought it on a lark to give as a present, along with the poem by Jenny Joseph with the opening lines, "Where I'm an old woman, I shall wear purple with a red hat that doesn't go and doesn't suit me." Sue gave away a few more birthday gifts of red hats along with that poem, and then held an informal tea party with the idea, just have some fun of who you are. Well, this turned into a total movement with 40,000 different Red Hat societies all across the world now. People need to know the origin story of your brand and what you developed and how it was created. Community decoder number two, language. It's critical you develop your own unique language and specific language for your community. Lady Gaga has her Little Monsters, and that's definitely on purpose, just like the Kiss Army. Gene Simmons is the ultimate man at getting the Kiss brand everywhere. I mean, they literally have licensed everything from Kiss condoms to caskets. It's totally amazing. And when he was coming up with the logo, he said, I wanted a logo that was easy for people to scratch into their desk at school. Create your own internal language for the community to use. For our community, for Mavericks, we have Maverick Mondays, which are random crazy occurrences happening on Monday. Might be something like showing up, and we have a Hollywood style artist who actually decorates your face and makes you look like a zombie, and we go off on a zombie bar crawl. We talked about creating Maverick Mayhem on Adventure Days or 3X Retreats. And then we also have Maverick Multipliers, which are all about business breakthroughs. And we have Maverick Moments, when members share poignant, insightful moments that happen on the experiences of the retreats. By developing more and more of your own unique language, it starts to build a little bit of an us versus them type of distinction. You might remember the old Apple ads, I'm an Apple, I'm PC, showing two different types of people. You can create a common enemy in a way based on what you stand for and what you don't. For example, Mini Coopers are against big SUVs. The guys from Tough Mudder are all about marathons are boring. And so being against regular marathons is how they originally started. Community decoder number three, creeds. Creeds continue to solidify what your community is about. It can define who's in and who's out. It can be totally objective or it can be subjective. It can be maybe if you bought something, then you're automatically in, like Jeep owners. Your job is to attract and at the same time repel by saying who this is for and who this is not. One way is to create a compelling manifesto declaring your values. Lululemon has theirs all over the familiar red and white bags, and it's deeply ingrained into what the company does in their ethos. Another athletic company that tackles the creed a little bit differently is Lorna Jane, with just three words, move, nourish, believe. They set the stage for what they believe in. Lorna Jane is an Australian brand just starting to make more inroads in the US and other international expansion. But when I talked to the manager at the Santa Monica location, she told me they outsold Nike by a considerable margin down under where they're from. What I really love about the brand was the way they were looking at blending retail and a live in-person experience, decoder number eight that we'll get to. Each morning, customers can gather up in the store for a chance to live and experience their values. MoveNourishBelieve.com. How about a few more you might not have seen? The Undeclared for Life Manifesto is developed by Emily Wapnick, who helps people with multiple varied interests declaring you're a putty peep. A putty peep is if you have multiple talents and never wanted to do only one thing. Now she has a name for it and people identify with it. Or how about this? There's a small nonprofit called Shark Angels, which is a community about saving sharks. And if you're part of this community, then their creed delivers what you're expected to do from actions like give sharks a chance to never consume shark products and get shark smart. And you can check them out at sharkangels.org. Community decoder number four, barriers and hurdles. In one of my favorite books, Influence of Psychology of Persuasion, Robert Cialdini mentions, persons who go through a great deal of trouble or pain to attain something tend to value it more highly than persons who attain the same thing with a minimum of effort. You can start using this to your advantage like other groups have figured out. Navy SEALs are probably one of the toughest groups in the world to get into, and not surprisingly, these guys have super tight cohesive bonds. Marines, Special Forces, Green Beret, all of these fit the mold because they're such elite groups. Being exclusive like the TED conference with a really hard ticket to get into can develop high-level ties, but it doesn't have to be about pricing. You can also set up free communities and keep the hurdles based on another criteria. Fiskars is a 200-year-old scissor and crafting company, and they had developed a community of people who are deep into scrapbooking and crafts. They call them Fiskateers, and they act as ambassadors in the crafting world, regardless of whose supplies they mention. Community decoder number five, insider disclosure. I believe in showcasing the good, the bad, and the ugly to really connect with your audience. On my blogs, you might see stories about when I first met my business hero, Sir Richard Branson, my kids, my proudest business accomplishments, and so on. And you might see me dressing up in a chicken suit to go skydiving, watch videos of me running over orange safety cones while F1 racing, or even the story of me falling out of my attic. Yes, it's a totally true story, unfortunately. You get the whole picture and not just the parts that make me look good. In today's world, you need to remove the spin on everything to only make you look good. Part of this is being an insider. You can make your customers feel this way in different ways, and Johnny Cupcakes understands this quite well. They built their business on limited edition t-shirts, accessories, and apparel. Johnny Cupcakes has been approached numerous times by bigger retailers to have their designs in the stores, but so far they've said no. I believe that's one of the biggest reasons they remain authentic to who they are and who their customers are. Many cult brands cater to outliers, and their customers appreciate the fact they know about them and not just everybody can have, wear, own what they do. You can reward your customers for being customers and make them feel like insiders too, with special sales, opportunities, and announcements only for them. Despair.com does this with their annual blackout sale. They let customers know that anyone visiting the site that's not a customer with insider access is actually not even going to be able to get into the site at all, and their special pricing, but only for insiders again. Community decoder number 6, rituals. So if you're a Red Wings hockey fan, you know that they chuck out an octopus on the ice as a long-standing tradition during the playoffs. And from the other side of the world, the All Blacks rugby team from New Zealand have a dance that the fans love called the haka, and they do this before every game. Essentially, it's based on a Maori war dance, and it's a pretty badass ritual. If you've ever seen it, go check out a video of it. It's on my life list, too, to actually dance the haka with the All Blacks, so if anyone can make that happen, let me know. If you've heard or seen the Jeep wave, I borrowed my buddy's Wrangler, and he told me specifically, when you take the car out, you have to wave. I said, huh? I don't get it. Well, it's the Jeep wave, and you have to do it. And the cooler the Jeep is, the more you get the wave going on. It's serious stuff with Jeep forums that even talk about the rules of the Jeep wave. When new Maverick members join, we have a specific ritual that may or may not involve industrial-strength green plastic wrap and saran wrap. Think about the rituals that you can incorporate into your own community. Community decoder number 7, artifacts. Artifacts are tangible pieces that identify somebody as part of the community. The Livestrong yellow bracelets are one of the most popular artifacts, with bracelets everywhere when they're really big. People identify with this idea of living strong and standing up to cancer in some way. Maverick members sometimes get equipped with green mustaches when we go out, and these mustaches get more attention than almost anything we've ever done. They're silly and a bit goofy, a little bit like me. The charity Falling Whistles has done a great job of creating an artifact that ties directly into their mission. They sell necklaces that have whistles on them, and they practically force conversations from others. The whistles are reminders of the children involved in the war in the Congo, who are too small to hold guns, but they would have a whistle around their neck to alert the side about enemy combatants coming. Fallingwhistles.com/store. Another notion of artifacts is, how do community members earn them? Your Harley leather jacket is more valuable in the group with patches from different rides and places. Our hog riders might not want to hear this, but their jackets aren't all that dissimilar from the Boy Scouts or Girl Scouts merit badges. There's really not that much new here, it's just how you apply it. You can keep it fun, like one community of ladies called Sisters on the Fly. This group of women will take Airstream trailers out on adventures across the country. They've also created their own merit badges, but instead of traditional ones, they have ones that have a little bit more personality to them, like the Martini badge, the Peeing Outside badge, and even the Nymph badge. What other artifacts could somebody earn? Even a simple t-shirt holds rank in a community if they had to put effort in to receive it. There's a fitness program called Insanity on a lot of infomercials, and the only way you got a t-shirt was if you went through the entire program and showed the results. By the way, don't miss out on the fact that this is also a great way of gathering testimonials and customer success stories. For Maverick members, we have a highly coveted green Speedo. Yeah, seriously. The history of the Maverick green Speedo is totally organic and random, which I think is some best stuff sometimes. There was a husband and wife who owned the swim shop, and they came to one of my events with a green Speedo as a present. It had my initials embroidered on it, and they proudly proclaimed Maverick on the backside. Thank you was about all I could muster, but I didn't really think I'd ever wear it. It's really tough to rock a Speedo. You either have to be in really great shape or really out of shape. I don't know if there's an in-between. I thought I'd maybe randomly pack it for the next trip and see what happened. So the next Maverick adventure was a racing event to break 200 miles an hour, driving super exotics out on an airstrip that we rented. You couldn't go all the way down the runway. You had to actually make a turn at about 75, 80 miles an hour to get to the other side and try to get to 200. Sounds exciting, but it's not quite as cool as it sounds, because when you get to about 170 miles an hour, all you're really doing is hoping that you don't run out of runway before you go off into the Everglades there. So I decided I'd be funny and wear my Speedo underneath my gear. Not the best idea. Trust me, it's really, really, really uncomfortable having a Speedo instead of underwear. So after training with the cars all day, everyone gets three chances to break the 200 mile an hour speed barrier. The first two times I didn't do it. I got 197, 198. So I pretty loudly told everybody, all right, I need to get more aerodynamic. And that's when I literally stripped off my clothes down to my Speedo, put on my racing helmet back on, slipped into my car. And the pro driver who's in the passenger seat just did a serious double take. And he's like, what the hell is wrong with you? I said, all right, let's drive. And this time I did hit 200 miles an hour. So now it's become part of the legend and lore of Maverick. And you can't buy it. You must earn it for lifetime service. Members proudly wear it, and it comes out at random times. Community decoder number 8, bigger mission. This piece will loop back into culture too. As humans, we're wired to want to be part of something even bigger than what we usually experience in our day-to-day lives. It's just natural human behavior. In Dan Pink's great book, Drive, he talks about how people are driven by three things: autonomy, mastery, and purpose. When you provide purpose for them, it serves a bigger mission. And at the same time, customers are driven by the fact that they're part of something bigger too. It gets everybody involved and excited to be driving towards a bigger purpose. When John F. Kennedy declared, "We choose to go to the moon," that inspired the whole nation to say, "That's where we're going." One of my friends, Tim Schmidt, founded the U.S. Concealed Carry Association. He used a mission to help rally his members. "We're on a mission. I need your help to make it happen. My mission is to teach 1 million people, equip 250,000 members, stop 5,000 crimes, and save 250 lives." That's a pretty powerful scorecard for him to use with his members and team as a way of them stepping up for something bigger. 2 Degrees Food has a global mission to help feed 200 million children. Big. Provide your customers and community with something big that they can all strive for together. Community decoder number 9, exceptional experiences. I think experiences more than anything else really bond the community together. There's nothing better, and people are hungry for these in-person connections. Plus, the more exceptional or intense the experience, the tighter the bond is going to be. People are craving that. No matter how many friends you might have on Facebook, it's really not the same. Jeep has been really smart with this with their popular Jeep Jamboree, where they have them come in multiple locations and they'll simply set up a true experience of cool things to do with your fellow Jeep enthusiasts in your car. Festivals have been getting bigger and bigger. Vans ended up actually taking over the Warped Tour because they knew that was their demographic and it was the best way of intimately reaching that segment. Locally, around me, there's a Sweet Life Festival, which is put on by a food company that believes in truly creating a community. And of course, this is what we do at Maverick. We create a bit of Maverick mayhem. We have zombie bar crawls on random Monday nights. We have business sessions in really crazy places. We take members via snowmobile to dinner on a secluded peak in the mountains. Members absolutely love it. And if you want to up the experience even more, add elements of surprise and mystery to make it even more fun and exciting. I just found something the other day called Surprise Cinema, which has been blowing up in Eastern Europe. People don't know what movie they're going to see. They just show up and see the movie. So add a little more fun to what you're doing, and then make sure you really love your community is the point. A great example is Keith Urban, country music star. He has a club called the Keith Urban 100 Club of superfans who have been to 100 of his concerts. It's freaking crazy. I know fans used to follow the Dead like that, and I bet there's definitely people who hit the 100-mile marker for concerts for them, but 100 Keith Urban concerts? I don't know. Keith flew all of them out to Chicago on his dime, gave them special gear, artifacts. And do you think that those people loved him even more now? Of course, and he got a ton of publicity in the country music world for that. Measuring your community score. One of the best measurement tools is called the Net Promoter Score, the NPS. It essentially boils down to just one question you ask your customers. How likely is it that you'd recommend our company, product, service to a friend or colleague? Then the scoring is based on a 0 to 10 scale. People that respond with a score of 9 or 10, you give them a +1. They're your promoters. And detractors are the ones who respond with a score of 0 to 6, giving you a -1. Then a score of 7 to 8 are passive and count on 0. NPS is calculated by subtracting the percentage of customers that are detractors from the percentage of customers that are promoters. Harvard Business Review has called it the one number you need to grow. The first time we scored Maverick members, we had a +73, which is world class on par with Google and Apple. And then after actively adding even more of these community elements, our score was +91. This is totally off the charts. Let's put all these elements together with a pretty new brand that's been blowing up and really doing this great. GoRuck Brand Fanatics case study. At a recent Maverick event, we had the founder of GoRuck, Jason McCarthy, come in and present what he's been able to build. I was really intrigued by their model after seeing this quote in Bloomberg Business. McCarthy is simultaneously building a brand and a legion of rabid, if not exhausted, brand fanatics. So let's break this down. Origin story. 9/11 happened. Jason wanted to do something for his country. He enrolled into the Army, went into the Special Forces as a Green Beret. After leaving the service, he realized from his experience there really wasn't a great rucksack out there. He just wanted to sell great bags made in the U.S. And that's a key part because he told us he was aligned, in his words, with the biggest brand that he could, How's America? Then the origin story continued with the Tough Mudder. He talked to the organizers and had a bunch of Green Beret buddies get over there to show how tough the bags were. They decided to put bricks inside the rucksack and do the Tough Mudder with those bricks. It was mostly an excuse for them to hang out and drink beer. He still wasn't selling many bags, but realized experience was the thing. So often, our true success actually lies perpendicular to where we think it is. It's just like Twitter taking one tiny aspect of their previous software and turning it into something big. GoRuck correctly recognizes all about creating experiences. Language. If you do one of their events, you now have a unique class number, and your cadre is actually an ex-Green Beret guy who comes in and trains you. There's also different names for the different challenges and events. Creed. This is something Jason calls good living. GoRuck's mission statement, challenge excellence and do right by people, has turned into this. It's about what we love, people, USA, manufacturing, the military, local pride, dogs, and the finer things in life like beer. Hurdles. So people can relate to that and get behind his creed, but he's also built this incredible barrier and hurdle to get in. These GoRuck challenges are tough. It's like 12 hours of extreme challenges. The whole deal is you have to finish as a team and you've got to support the team. It's not a race. It's just a team creating these cohesive units. That's why you're the class of blah, blah, blah. Inside access. On their blog, Jason also has complete transparency on sales and metrics. He'll show stats from their explosive growth, and that's exactly what happens when you have a great community. He'll also share the truth about their goofs and pitfalls. Rituals. They have something called a welcome party, and this is straight out of his Green Beret training. In fact, Jason took a lot of this stuff about creating cohesive units from a service. The welcome party is a bunch of push-ups, flutter kicks, army carries, high-stepping formation marching, all good stuff, and now add about 40 pounds of bricks into your backpack. For Mavericks, our welcome party started at midnight. Yep, we actually did a GoRuck challenge on the streets of DC, trekking through the mall with nobody else around. It was really something special and ended up with a well-deserved beer directly across from the White House at 8 a.m. before receiving our urn artifact. And that artifact is a GoRuck patch, and you can't get it any other way except by completing your mission. It's not for sale, as they say on the site. What's more, even smarter, they've created Ascension because there are additional advanced challenges you can participate in and get other patches. Now that's a real advanced strategy of showing your customers what to do and where to go next. Bigger mission. Jason and GoRuck are all about the Green Beret Foundation, which serves Green Berets and their families, to date raising over $450,000. And you better believe that community loves the fact they do this. They tell you right up front how much money from each event or purchase is going into the foundation. Exceptional experiences. GoRuck lives this. You can pretty much sign up for something happening all around you. Now the proof is they've been around a very, very short time and they've got tens of thousands of likes already. And even more importantly are the types of comments they get on social media. I was so glad I came into contact with your brand. I mean, our brand. When you can get that kind of ownership, you win. GoRuck has truly earned this brand selling into so much more than just a bag. The interesting thing is you need a rucksack to do the challenges. Now it doesn't have to be one of theirs, but you better believe they sell a whole lot more of them because selling the bag isn't even the main focus. Go out and use these same community decoder pieces to build an amazing community as a key part of your evolved enterprise. And that's a setup for our final piece.